Good morning, everyone, and a special good morning to all the fathers out there. Hope you're feeling refreshed and well-rested on this fine morning. When we were planning today's all-age service, we weren't really sure what the mood would be in the room, knowing when the service was going to fall. We weren't really sure what the mood would be. Nevertheless, I have optimistically entitled the talk, We Are the Champions. So just to put us in the champion frame of mind, I thought I would, in case we weren't already in that sort of thinking forward, I thought I'd show us some pictures of some of our kind of great national sporting successes. Couldn't find too many about football, so there's all sorts of sports on there. And I wonder if people are able to kind of name them as they come up. No need to put your hand up, just call them out as you know them. Yep, good, that's England winning the Ashes back. Yep, who would that be? Lewis Hamilton winning Formula One. Yep, that's the 2003 Rugby World Cup drop goal that won the tournament. That's Mo Farah winning London 2012. That's Jess Ennis winning London 2012. Bradley Wiggins winning the Tour de France. Andy Murray winning Wimbledon. Happy days. And for those who follow sport, these are the moments that really count. We remember the elation that comes from winning, and we can see it in the faces of all those athletes. For the players, it's what all the training has been for. All those wins on screen are the result of years of rigorous training, development of strength, discipline, and tactics. Because in any sport, if you want to win, you've got to train to win, and you've got to play to win. That desire to win can bring out the best in people. It can spur them to greatness. But it can also bring out the worst in people. I'm sure anyone who watches or plays sport regularly has probably seen how it can drive how the drive to win can make a person lose the plot. It can be all too easy to fall into that trap. Maybe not to the extent of asking little children to hurt other little children, but often to the extent of making dirty tackles, or faking injury, or bad-mouthing the referee. But I don't think it's something that just happens in sport. We all desire success in the areas of our life that matter to us, be it school, work, or friendships or family. We work out the aim of the game, we develop tactics, and we play to win. And just like on the sports pitch, that desire for success can bring out the best in us or the worst. It can spur us to greatness, or it can turn us into somebody we never wanted to become. I once met a person who built a very successful career that took up so much time and energy that it destroyed their family. And I want to share with you what they said when they reflected back, because I found it quite stirring. You tell yourself that you're doing it for your family. And at the start, you are. But after a while, you're not. You're just doing it for the money. It's not too hard to get so caught up in winning that you forget why you started playing the game. But what good is it to achieve success when you lose the people you wanted to share it with? What good is it to coach your team to win the final if you become the person you didn't want to be? What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? So, how do we stop ourselves from being destroyed by our desire to win? How do we play to win without losing our way? The answer is that we need to remember to look at the scoreboard. Did you know that performance in team sport is directly affected by the scoreline. Okay, research shows that the scoreline, whether a team is winning, drawing or losing, affects the amount of possession. It affects the direction and accuracy of passes. It affects the speed of the players, not to mention player conduct. Almost every aspect of a player's game is affected by what the scoreboard tells them. I want you to imagine for a moment that you're playing football in a cup final. Okay, so for some of you, that will maybe take more imagination than others. Imagine you're playing football in a cup final. There's 5 minutes left of the game. You're 3-0 up. The referee makes a wrong decision against your team. Do you argue it? Probably not. Okay, because there's nothing to lose. There's nothing, you've got nothing to lose. Now imagine there's 5 minutes left of the game. You're 1-0 down, you're 1-0 down, the referee makes the wrong decision against your team. Do you argue it? Now for me, if I'm honest, and if I speak from precedent, I would have to say yes. And the reason is because there's something at stake. It matters. And it's for that reason that we need to keep an eye on the scoreboard. Let me show you what I mean. And I'm reading now from 1 Corinthians 8. So now, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. What the law could not do, because human nature was weak, God did. He sent his own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. When I say keep an eye on the scoreboard, I mean the real scoreboard. Because the real game is a battle against sin and death, and we couldn't win that on our own. So God came to earth in human form to win the victory for us. Basically, Jesus is a bit like a ringer. Okay, for those of you who don't know what I mean by a ringer, here's the dictionary definition. An athlete or horse fraudulently substituted for another player in a competition or event. Okay, if Central Baptist Church drafted in Frank Lampard for their final game, and I wonder if any of you can spot him there, drafted in Frank Lampard for their cup final game and put Martin Hills on the team sheet, he would be a ringer. But that's just what Jesus is like. Because the team sheet says human, but it was God that was playing the game. Let's go on. And in view of all this, what can we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble do it, or hardship, or persecution, or hunger, or poverty, or danger of death? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am certain that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is ours through Christ Jesus our Lord. Whatever our individual passions and desires, gifts and skills, the ultimate aim of the game is everlasting relationship with God. That's what we were made for. And the Bible tells us that in this game, because of Jesus, we're not just winners, we're more than winners. Now that's not to say that nothing else matters. We don't just skip through life from one success to the other. We know that we'll suffer setbacks in every area of life, that many of us will suffer painful loss or crushing defeat. But when we look at the real scoreboard, in what matters most, we are more than winners. Some of you will know that I'm a hockey player. I play for Chelmsford Hockey Club, which has got five ladies' teams, imaginatively named the first team, second team, third team, and so on. And they all play in different leagues at different levels. And this year, all the leagues ended at the same time, which meant that every team played their final game on the same Saturday. Now, the first team had a really tough season. They were in a three-way relegation battle. They needed to win to stay in their league. Everything depended on their final game. But the fourth team had a brilliant season. They won every game. They had a goal difference of 162. They secured promotion to the next league about 4 weeks earlier. They could have not even showed up to the final game and they would still have been league champions. And I think that's a really helpful way of understanding what it means for us to be more than conquerors. We're a bit like that fourth team in their final game. Our victory is secure and there's nothing at stake. All that remains is for us to enjoy the game and give a good account of ourselves. Of course, it would have been a shameful thing for the team not to show up or to play in a lazy way or to make fun of the other team. Though they were already champions, they still showed up to the game and they still tried their hardest. But they weren't doing it out of fear or desperation. Instead, they were doing it out of a love for the game, a desire to give a good account of themselves and be the best that they could be. In the same way, when we look at the scoreboard, the real scoreboard, and see that we are winners in Christ, we mustn't allow it to make us arrogant or lazy or careless about how we behave, because our victory was earned at great cost. Instead, let's allow the scoreboard to free us from worry, to spur us on to use the gifts and talents that we have to become the best possible version of ourselves. And I'm going to leave you now with some verses from, I don't know where, because I've written 1 Corinthians, but I promise it's in the Bible. It is 1 Corinthians. Run in such a way as to win the prize. Every athlete in training submits to strict discipline in order to be crowned with a prize that will not last. But we do it for one that will last forever.